Father God, I just thank you right now, Lord, that this service is yours, Father, that this message is yours, Father, that it be said in the shadow of your cross, Father, that the shadow of your cross, Father, just fall upon this church, Lord, that the power, Father God, the resurrecting power, the healing power, Father God, just fall right now, Lord, and that my words just slip away, that you show up, Father God, that we just become humble before you right now, Lord, that it's not about the words or what is said, Father God, more than who you are and why we're here, Lord, because you are worthy. You are powerful, Father God, and we love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So this morning's message is titled, All That Matters. All that matters is Jesus. At the end of the day, whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, victories and defeats, Jesus is all that matters. We can be destroyed, but we cannot be defeated. When Jesus is all that matters, whether it's health, whether it's pain, whether it's finances, or family and drama and turmoil, and you feel like life has just left you behind and you're going, what's going on? And it seems the only time anybody's with you is when you're face to face. You might just be shaking their hand, but you find your times alone. Listen, when you can't feel him, he's still there. All that matters. All that matters, is Jesus. Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the one sent from God. And he's for you. He's with you. He's by you. He's in you. He's speaking to you right now. He's in your heart. And he's there and he loves you. And he's not only your father, but he's fatherly. And you'll find that in his word. As I have more than ever being part of this church and under Pastor Steve. So I just want to just encourage every single person here not to just understand that, but to believe it, to stand in it, to stand behind that cross and see what that power of love feels like. Whether we're in the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. You know who else believed that? Paul. Paul believed that. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul was one of the most important people after Jesus in all of Christianity. Paul was a Greek-speaking Jew from Asia Minor. Paul spent most of the first half of his life persecuting Christians and the Christian movement. Why do we need to know this? Because we're going to go over 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, the letter to the church of Corinth. And we need to know a little bit about this man who wrote this letter. We need to know a little bit about the man who, was he important enough? Did he have the credentials for us to listen to? In Galatians 1:16, God revealed his son to Paul. Paul saw the Lord. During the next 20 years, he established several churches in Asia Minor and at least three in Europe, including the church at Corinth. Could you imagine Paul's resume? Think about this. Could you imagine somebody checking his credentials at the door, like looking for authorization, and Paul pulls out this badge. It's like authorized by the resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ. And all that he knew, I mean, God spoke through him, wrote through him, filled through him, healed through him, dealt with him, all with Paul, never bragging. This happened today, if you can imagine somebody who had the intellect and the real God experience that he did, man, today, somebody other than Paul, you could have somebody writing a book. You'd probably find it at the shelf at Walmart. You know, some guy bragging about it on every social media outlet, interviews on Oprah, some low-budget Christian production making a movie about him, getting played by some guy with an English accent, Davy Jones of the Monkees, trying to be lighthearted. Is that you, my Lord? Paul was somebody to listen to. So, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. You have a Bible with you or your phone. I don't think I have a PowerPoint. Yeah, I was asked, but I don't have one. So, 1 Corinthians 2 through 5. Okay. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians was written to a church community that Paul knew very well. Corinth was a port city in the ancient world that had lots of temples to Greek and Roman gods. Paul strategically came there as a missionary. And because of that, Many became followers of Jesus and formed a church community. But after Paul moved on, he began to get reports of dissension and division among the people of the church. People were like, we follow Paul, we follow Peter, we follow Apollos. It's kind of like what we see a lot today. And I read about this, like I read the whole book of the, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And I actually got this like off of a website because it summed it up the best. But reading it, man, it's like Pastor said, like this place was a place where there was just so much dissension and drama, and it was a popularity contest, and people were saying, well, I like that church because, you know, it's a little bit more lively and it's a little bit more charismatic, or I don't like that, it's a little too dry, or his teaching is better than the next. And you start with all these distractions and with all the noise. As a believer, this isn't a secular argument. These are believers who believe in God, believe in Jesus, who heard Paul, and because of his words of truth and just the plain gospel, began to follow him. But now, as he left, they've got into these churches that were created, and there's become division, right? So division is two visions, and things started happening. We see a lot of that, not only today, but in a lot of things that deal with our life and with God, people arguing over certain things that are going on. And you know as well as I do that when we get caught up in all this stuff, we could get comfortable. And when we get comfortable, we begin to get idle. And when we get idle, this starts spinning. And we start, instead of thinking about the things we're for, we start thinking about the things we're against. And we forget who God was that delivered us from all those situations in our life when we knew nothing. When we knew nothing, what he delivered us from. Now, here we are getting filled up with the word of God, and we're getting all this teaching, and now we got division. When we came crawling through those church doors, begging for help on our wedding day, on our sick bed, at the family reunion, over the telephone, begging, Lord, help me, please. Not even knowing how to pray. But now we get teaching, and now we're getting guidance, and now we're getting instruction, and now we're getting informed by human wisdom, and now there's division. Because we started standing in front of the cross instead of staying behind it, saying, Lord, your light my way. Not my tongue, not my mind, not my opinion, not my philosophy, not my political view, not my neighbor's view, but your view. Your word. I trust you. We cannot trust ourselves to begin to rewrite the Bible. And when we do that to fit our agenda, there will be division. And we'll start listening to people instead of listening to God. So 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5 says, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, announcing the mystery of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power. Bam, right? That verse should put all pettiness between any believer to rest. That just killed the game. If you're trying to play God or play God, that just killed the game right there. And he goes on to so much more, as Pastor Charlie last week touched on the problems and the situations and the lifestyles that they were leading as believers. The verse begins, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I meaning Paul, brothers and sisters of the Corinthians, announcing the mystery of God to you. The mystery of God is Jesus. Colossians 2:2-3. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. To know Jesus is to know unity. To know Jesus is to know love, and to know love is to know your love your enemy. We can love who we choose, but to truly love and to know God is harmony. It is harmony with ourselves and God. God, ourselves, and all our problems, there will be harmony. Can you imagine going through your worst storm and having harmony? Having such a word that doesn't even fit in the statement. But God does that. God does that. But God will give you harmony through instruction, by obeying Him, by following Him, by taking up His cross daily. God saves us from hell, not from the cross. We got to pick that up. And with that, harmony occurs. Harmony occurs. Next, the letter says, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul is saying, I could have pulled out my resurrected appearance of Jesus Christ card, but I didn't. Not only that, but I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul was a man who had the equivalent of 2 PhDs in theology by the age of 21. A man of great insight on the whole scope of theology. Nevertheless, he said that the focal point of his teaching, preaching, and ministry among the Corinthians was simply Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He left it all behind. He left it all behind. He did what got him. I'm not going to give you all this other stuff to overwhelm you, because really all that matters is Jesus and Him crucified. All that matters is Jesus and Him crucified. That's why we come here. That's why we learn. That's why we pray. That's why we love. That's why we worship in our lifestyle in worship, because it's all about Jesus and Him crucified. That's where the power is. This did not mean that Paul discarded all knowledge, but rather that he had the gospel and its crucified Messiah as his singular passion while he was among them. So anything they brought to the table, with every filter and background and generational habit that they had learned throughout their life, it meant nothing. When you say, no, it's all just about Jesus and Him crucified, it brings it back to the foundation of where it should be. The only way a root can grow is by the soil and the foundation. We could talk about the fruit all day. That don't mean nothing without that foundation. And that's where we have to find ourselves. That's where we need to remind ourselves. That's where we need to realize that's where the light of anything we're looking for. The world's looking for pleasure. That's what the world's looking for, is pleasure. But when it's all about Jesus and Him crucified, we get pleasure too. You know what that pleasure is? The pleasure of forgiveness. The pleasure of mercy. The pleasure of seeing family members get off drugs. The pleasure of incurable diseases being cured that only Jesus can heal in the name of Jesus. The pleasure of reading His word and knowing, Lord, You're for me. The pleasure of knowing that You were saved and literally chains snapped from sin. Delivered, rescued from the moment we realize, I surrender. I surrender to Jesus, because it's all about Jesus and Him crucified. It's all about Jesus and Him crucified. If we could only remind ourselves, and we will, no matter what we're going through, let's remind ourselves when our pride rises up, when our old habits rise up, when our, I don't like what this look, I don't like what he said, I don't like that music. We go, no, it's about Jesus and Him crucified. That's all it's about. And I love you. And Jesus loves you more. Now let's talk about that. That's what it comes down to. When you've ran out of faith and you're like, I kind of come to church for today. I don't really believe anymore. I'm doubting. Or maybe you've never stepped foot into the real altar of surrender. You've heard all about him, but you haven't stepped in that. Jesus, 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 and him crucified. Paul is saying, in other words, Jesus Christ and him crucified is all that matters, as it should be in all our lives. Forget everything else. Forget everything else. Then Paul goes on to write, I came to you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. I've looked into what that meant. I don't know. There's a lot of meanings to it. But if we just take it into the physical, how many of us have come to God in weakness and fear and much trembling, right? Physical ailment could just be like the weight of this all and what he was speaking. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom. I was so nervous to come up here, just so you know. I'm just being honest. And Terry and Jarrett could testify. We've preached hundreds of times. I'm in a different place now. As they are, we've all grown. I wanted to honor God. I don't want honor. Thank you. I don't. I really don't. And it was, you know, I'm looking into this scripture and it's like, wow, I'm struggling with something that in the scripture it's saying, don't come with that, man. Don't come with persuasive words. Don't worry about any of that. Just come. Speak. Jesus and him crucified. That's it. We can't use the wisdom of man. If somebody could be persuaded into following Jesus with human wisdom, then he could be persuaded out of following Jesus with human wisdom. What you win somebody with is what you'll keep them with. I'm saying this because Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom. Were not with persuasive words of wisdom. So what I'm saying in 2019, Paul already knew then. Right? He already knew then. What you draw somebody with is what you're going to draw them to. So if it's all about the glitz, the glamour, the entertainment, the lights, the smoke, the whole culture, but not Jesus, well, you're going to have to keep them with all that stuff. And that's not God. But if we can go to a family member, if we could go to a lost person, if we could go to a struggling person and say, listen, man, I don't know. I can't even relate to that background. I don't know what it is to be hooked on heroin, man. I don't know what it is to live a double life hooked on meth and doing things, brother. But I do know one thing. Jesus loves you, and there's power in that, brother. Man, he sent his son, his one and only son, to die on the cross for you. A debt you couldn't pay. And it's hard to wrap your mind around, brother. People think it's foolishness. People think they need a prideful king or somebody to rule over their sin. No. You need to surrender. And you tell somebody about Jesus, and then they get it, and then you pray with them. Man, there ain't even no need for a 12-step. It's a one step. Because they'll go to that 12-step. They'll go there. I always picture God like, and I tell my youth that when they feel they've fallen away, I tell them, man, it's not like you got all these steps to walk back to him. Like every sin you make is one step further from God. And I always do an illustration where I'll have them like walk behind me. And I'll say, walk about a foot behind me. And then when I stop and turn around, you stop. And they'll walk and he'll be right here. And I'm going, this is me walking away from God. This is me sinning. And then I stop and they stop and I turn around and they're right there. And I said, that's God, man. You're only always one step away. Saying, Lord, forgive me. I repent. Just repent. God's not bipolar. We don't need to just rededicate and do this whole thing. He's right there. It's a one step. So that's what I mean by one step. The next part of the verse starts with a but. That's a conjunction, right, Pastor? Right? He taught me this. I want to give up, but I won't. And that's why we should all have a but. Thank you. That was a bad joke. It's probably been used a million times. I just discovered this joke. I'm sorry. Because I just discovered what a conjunction was. So the verse begins with, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not be based on human wisdom, but on God's wisdom. Human wisdom will say, the doctor will heal you. Human wisdom says, hope you get on the top of that clipboard and they treat you good. Hope the nurse is in a good mood so they take a little bit more time on you. Hope traffic is good today, because then my day will be good. Human wisdom. Human wisdom. Human wisdom. Oh, college will do it. Go to a university. Education will do it. Science will do it. Yeah. Human wisdom. Cross your fingers. No. God. 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 We cannot count on this. Our minds are no match to the power of God. Human wisdom is no match to the power of God. Our brains are like computers. 19 open screens, 3 are frozen, and we have no idea where the music's coming from. Brains are stupid. My niece told me that, and I'll never forget it. Brains are stupid. And I'm glad she said that, because I'm not like the most educated guy. So, I feel I'm getting more educated being here, though. Romans 1:16 through 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation. I said the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile, for in the gospel, the righteousness, I can't even wrap my mind to really truly understand what that means to God. Righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written for us to read, not adding to the scripture, that was me. The righteous will live by faith. That's the recipe. The recipe, the righteous will live by faith. Not have stuff to show how righteous you are, but by invisible, powerful faith. So whoever is lost in your life, you or others, by faith, what are you going through today? Because whatever it is, the answer is, Jesus. Jesus and Him crucified. Do you want a better life? A better mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health? The answer is Jesus. Is your family on a downward spiral? Jesus, I want a better life. I want to see things differently through a different scope. I need a better house. It's falling apart. My heart, I'm falling into depression, anxiety. You've been hurt. You've been wounded. I've been hurt. I've been wounded. You've cried yourself to sleep. Life's becoming monotonous. Wake up, get up, stand up, go to sleep, wake up, get. No! Stand. What are you going through today? What are you going through today? What have you been going through? You can't surprise Jesus. You think you're there and you're going, oh, I would, but I got cancer. You think that shocked God? He knows what you're going through. He says, I know. But you can do it. Believe. Believe. Reading this, I was the one in the church of Corinth. And now I got to bring it back. I got to bring it back. I got to bring it back. Where Jesus is where the power is. Where the scripture is where I learn and I know who God is. And when I know who God is, I know what He thinks about me. And I know what I can do when I'm on my knees, in my car on my knees, standing in line on my knees, in church on my knees, in the hospital on my knees, in every area of my life on my knees, saying, Lord, I refuse to allow your cross to become a historical relic. There is power in the resurrection because he rose. We rise. We rise. Do you believe that? Whatever you're going through, rise in Christ. Rise in Jesus. Whatever your wife's going through, your husband, rise and give it to God. It's not you. It's not your fight. It's God's fight. That's what he did for you, for us. If we could bow our heads right now. Father God, Lord Jesus, I thank you for each and every person here right now, Lord. Father, I pray for the one that's struggling in life, in health, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. Father, right now, I don't know if it's a relationship. I don't know what's going on, Lord. I don't want to know. Lord, if that person is here right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that they just call on your name. We're here to pray with them one-on-one. Lord, I pray, Father God, that right now you strike the heart of an unbeliever and let them know, oh, I'm real. And I love you. Lord, shatter the addictions. Shatter the thoughts of doubt and despair and drama and worry. Stop worrying. Give it to God. Say, Lord, I am frazzled, but I give it to you. Oh, Lord, it's yours. You got this. God's got you. He's got your back. He's with you. So, Lord, I just pray, Father God, if there's an unbeliever here, we're here to pray for you. Father God, I pray if there is a believer here, Father, that's found themselves in confusion and conflict. As we leave these doors, Lord, they immediately forget what was said and they're going out because the phone's ringing off the hook and they don't even want to show up at home because they know they just sit in the driveway. No. Be their refuge. Be their refuge right now, Lord. Let there be peace. Let there be joy and salvation in the hearts of every single person here, Father God. Refuel them and fill them. That we know, that we know, that we know, that we know. It's Jesus and him crucified. And we thank you. Amen.